about to begin a new malacha of tzad, seid of trapping animals. So we're going to have to take a little bit of break from the learning of halacha for a minute, because we have to understand a little bit about the animal kingdom. So I'm trying to put myself back into the, I'm not sure whether it's elementary school science or high school bio, but if I'm not mistaken, I think there were insects, and there were amphibians, and reptiles, and birds, and fish, and mammals. I'm not sure I got exactly in the right order, but last I remember, there were, I think, six different categories within the animal kingdom. So the Gemara actually goes through not every single one of those categories, but we're going to go through most of those categories just to understand the basic question. Before we can understand really the malacha of tzad, what exactly tzad is, we have to focus on the chefetz of tzad, namely what are we doing tzad to? What kind of an animal, fish, bird, etc. are we being tzad? And the answer to that question is, it's going to depend. The halachas of tzeda may be different in terms of what exactly the animal is that we are attempting to be tzad. So let's go, we'll start from the lowest, I guess from the lowest, and work our way up. So we'll start with the insect world. How exactly does the malach of tzeda play out in terms of insects? So, you know, we know that tzeda is one of the labatas malachas, there's no question about that. It's listed in the Mishnah in Masechet Shabbos. So we have to deal with tzeda both at the level of the Araisa, and as we've seen with many other malachas, every once in a while we'll find that for some technical reason, the malacha deraisa doesn't apply, but it's still been prohibited mid derabanan. So let's analyze that, both tzeda deraisa and tzeda derabanan, as it relates to the world of insects. So then the first of the Rama Kamos, the Gemara Masech Shavas of Kuvav and Beis, Tan Rabbanan and deraisa, Hatzar Chagovim Gozim Tzirin V'yetushin B'Shavas Chayev. If a person traps the following, either Chagovim or things like in the grasshopper family, or tzirin, I'm not sure exactly what they are. A tzir is a hornet, a wasp, something like that. Yetushin, I mean, in modern Hebrew we call it a mosquito. I'm not sure whether mosquitoes, flies. The bottom line is that most of these kinds of things are not things that are generally trapped. So chayev. So it says Rabbi Meir says it doesn't matter whether people like to trap yetushin or whether people don't have their pet mosquito collections, whether people are interested in catching the hornets or not interested in catching the hornets. Rabbi Meir says, Yechayev, he did an act of tzeidah. According to Rabbi Meir, tzeidah is a very simple malacha. You have this, you have a balchai, you have somebody that's alive, it's running around, it's not controlled. You do something and get, you corner it. You corner into a position and now it's within a controlled position. So Rabbi Meir says, you violated the malacha deraisa of tzeidah. But Chacham say, no. Kol shebimino nitzat chayev, v'chol she'emino nitzat potter. The Chum say that only something which is normal to trap, that species is a type of an item that's trapped, would you be chayav? Something which most normal people don't trap, one would be potter. Now, even though it may be true that people like to trap flies, or they like to trap mosquitoes to get rid of them, then that's not what I mean by min yesh bimino nitzo. Yesh bimino nitzo means that it's something that's trapped to be used. Let's say Mishnah speaks about a tzad tzvi. People like to trap deers in order to use the deer. People like to trap other animals for their skins, or for their meat, or other things. That's called yesh bimino nitzo. Things which are ein bimino nitzo, even though people do trap them, but trap them to discard them, that's called the halacha ein bimino nitzo. So this is the first major machlekes with Din Rabbi Meir, who doesn't accept this distinction, and therefore concludes that all trapping is chayav. In contrast to the Chachamim, who differentiate between different types of insects, in contrast to other kinds of animals, whether it's yesh b'mino nitzo or ein b'mino nitzo. Then the second of the Maamar Kamos, Nafkuv Zayin Amud Aleph. Actually, it's the first Mishnah, the name of the Perek Shmona Shratzim. So the Mishnah begins to discuss on tzeidah on animals a little bit higher level up in the animal kingdom. So Shmona Shratzim Amur B'Torah. If a person is dealing with one of the eight shvatzim that's mentioned in the Chumash, the eight shvatzim are mentioned in the end of Parashat Shemini, the lizard, the mouse, and a few of them, I'm not exactly sure what they are, but the Torah does say achbar, so we assume that means a mouse, and the Torah says halta'a, which the Rishonim say means lizard. I think Rashi writes the old Latin word. So those kinds of animals, the creepy, crawly kinds of animals. So the Mishnah says, Shemana Shratza Mu'a B'Torah, Hatzadon V'achova B'hen Chayev. If a person either traps them, or cause these shvatzim to bleed, so one would be chayev. Chovel is a totally different part of a malacha, which we'll get to a little bit later on. But we're focusing more on seidah. So the Mishnah says that there is seidah on these types of animals. Ushar shkatzim ramasim. What about other kinds of shkatzim ramasim? Maybe other, sounds like other insects, other creepy crawly, other kinds of things. Hachovah ben potter. Again, we'll get to the chovah part later. Hatzadah mitzorah chayev shelo litzorah potter. So here the Mishnah differentiates between what the purpose of your tzedah is. Here the Mishnah says, if your tzah, these other kinds of crawly things, so then it depends why you're doing it. If you're doing it litzorech, because you want it, because you need it, then you're going to be chayev. If you're doing it shelo litzorech, then you're going to be potter. So at first glance, we have two different marmakomos. They're actually not only two different daf, they're actually two different prakim, which seem to be talking about two different limitations on the Malach of Tzedah. The first of the Marmakomos was talking about from the Chefza vantage point, namely, what type of an animal am I being tzad? Am I being tzad a mosquito, which people are not tzad, or am I being tzad a deer, which people generally are tzad? That's the principle called Ein Bevino Nitzad. So that first principle, in terms of the Chefza, the item that's being trapped, was a Machalikis Rebbe Meir Rabbanan. We're not quite sure what they're arguing about, why there should be such a Machalikis, but that first maramachom doesn't seem to have to do all that much with this particular person's intention. Rather, as a general statement, is the chefza of yesh b'mino nitzu or not. In the second of the maramachomos, and of kuzayim, so the Mishnah is focusing not so much on the object, but what the person's intent is. It means you can have the same animal, you have the same creepy crawly item, and for you it may be chayv, and for the other guy it may be potter, because I did it letzorech, and the other guy did it shelo letzorech. So at first glance, there seem to be two different sugyas that are playing out here. I say that at first glance, because Rashi immediately dispels that notion. So if you take a look at the third of the Rambamas, Rashi on the Mishnah, when Rashi says shelo letzorech potter, so says Rashi, the reason why if a person is tzad something, not for the purpose of using it, so Rashi throws in three words, the ein b'mino nitzayit, because that now becomes ein b'mino nitzod. Basically, Rashi just bridged the sugyas. Although the sugyas are two different prakim, they're a daf apart, Rashi just said it's all the same thing. Because Rashi's sticking in to the Mishnah that's talking about a person's intent, Rashi's throwing in the fact of ein b'mino nitzod. And then Rashi goes further. V'havyu malacha shenetzricha legufa. Says Rashi, why is this so important? Since when do we care about what a person's intent is? So says Rashi, since when do we care? We do care. That's the machlokes of Rabbi Shimon. We spoke about this countless times, that according to Rabbi Shimon, just because you did the action of the malacha, if you did it for a fundamentally different purpose than the malacha was practiced in the Mishkan, you're going to be potter. We saw this in the last sugya. We saw the person who's ripping things for a different reason. We saw this when we spoke about carrying. A person is carrying something on Shabbos, but his interest is not to use the item, it's to remove it. He's taking out the garbage on Shabbos. So that's not called carrying, according to Rabbi Shimon. Even though physically you did the same exact action, but since your purpose for the action was radically different, that's called the Malacha She'ena Tzricha Legufa. That was Rabbi Shimon's, one of his many chidushim in Ucha Shabbos. Malacha She'ena Tzricha Legufa is not a deraisa. And Rabbi Yudah disagreed. Rabbi Yudah said it's not true. That Hilchos Shabbos follows the action, it doesn't follow what the person's intent was. So comes Rashi and says, that issue of Malacha She'ena Tzricha Legufa is the issue that's permeating both of the sugyas that we just read. That is the reason why the Mishnah says you can have a tzadu l'tzorech chayev, shlo tzorech potter. The reason why Reuven can trap one animal and Shimon can trap the exact same animal. Reuven's chayev skila and Shimon's not. What's the difference? The same animal, same chefza. It's the same action. They close the same door. How come one guy's chayev and one guy's potter? The answer is simple, because one guy's malacha tzricha legufa and one fellow is malacha she'ena tzricha legufa. The Rashi says that not only is Malacha She'ena Tzricha Legufa what's governing the Mishnah about Letzorech Chayev Letzorech Potter, but that's ultimately the reason behind the first Mishnah as well, about Yesh B'mino Nitzod versus Zeh B'mino Nitzod. Rashi makes a simple calculation. When a person traps a mosquito, they're not interested in using the mosquito, because that's Zeh B'mino Nitzod. Nobody uses mosquitoes. When you trap a deer, so you're trapping it for the purpose of using it. That's called the Yesh B'mino Nitzod. So according to Rashi, there is no independent category called Yesh B'mino Nitzod, Eim B'mino Nitzod. No new halacha called Yesh B'mino Nitzod, Eim B'mino Nitzod. Yesh B'mino Nitzod is always an example of a malacha tzricha guf, until we know it to the contrary. Ein b'mina nitzod is always an example of malach she'ein etzricha l'gufa, unless we know to the contrary. So there's really only one halacha that's saying, according to Rashi, there's not a briska shiur, there are not two dinim, there's one din. The one din is, do you subscribe to the principle of malach she'etzricha l'gufa being potter? Do you subscribe to the view that malach she'etzricha l'gufa is being chayev? If you hold it's potter, then you're potter in these cases, you're chayev and it's chayev. According to Rashi, it comes out that since this is a machloekes atanoim, we know this is a machloekes atanoim from 20 other sugyas in Shas. So that's exactly what Rabbi Meir and the Chama are fighting about also. We opened up in the first of the Ramakomos, a strange machloekes. According to Rabbi Meir, if you trap a fly, you chayev. According to Rishim, you trap, according to the Chamim, if you trap a fly, you potter. We presented the machloekes, but we didn't analyze the machloekes. We have no idea what they're arguing about. So says Rashi, that's exactly what they're arguing about. They're arguing about this very point, is malacha she'etzricha l'gufa chayev apotter. So we can add to the list of tanoim who argue about this, Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim. We already know Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda. Everyone's arguing about it. It's the same hot topic. These are all the talmid of Rabbi Akiva, the Yom of the Yom this week. So the Gemara says in Maseches Yefamos, Rabbi Akiva had 24,000 talmidim, and Nebuch, they all died in this period of time, during Sfira. And then Rabbi Akiva, later in life, developed five more talmidim. And it was those five talmidim who were the ones who ultimately, the ones who brought us Amasaira Adayim Azeh. So who were the five talmidim? So there was Rabbi Meir, there's Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Lazar. Those are the five famous talmidim of Rabbi Akiva, whose words last till this day. So these were all the Tanoim, same people, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon. They were all the ones who were fighting out the same Nakuda, whether Malach She'etzricha l'gufa is Chayev, Malach She'etzricha l'gufa is Potter. So according to Rashi, we thought we had two different sugyas, but then we come to the realization that we're really learning one sugya. It's really one issue, is Malach She'etzricha l'gufa Chayev or Potter, and that will ultimately determine whether Yechayev for trapping bugs, which clearly is not Tzrich L'Gufa. So comes Tosfos in the fourth of the Ramakamos and tells us that this whole interpretation of Rashi, the Baal Tosfos think, is not correct. So Tosfos in the fourth of the Ramakamos, Shabbos, Kuvzayin of Adalah, Shlo L'Tzrich Potter, Pirish Rashi, the Ein B'Mino Nitzot. So Rashi stuck together the two sugyas. V'Eino Nira, says Tosfos. The Haman de Potter, Ein B'Mino Nitzot, Toter Afilu L'Tzrich. Says Tosfos, the opinion that says that ein b'mino nitzot, something that's not normal to be trapped, is potter, namely the view of the Chachamim in the first of the Ramakamos, that opinion maintains, even if you personally want to have a pet mosquito, you're still going to be potter. Says Tosfos, these are two different halachas. One halacha is, depends upon what your intent is, that's locha tzricha l'gufa. So you can have two guys, one guy's trapping a deer to use, and one guy's trapping a deer to get rid of the deer. So one guy's chayav, one guy's potter. That's one sugya. But then there's a different sugya. That was the first sugya of ein b'mino nitzon. Ein b'mino nitzon means, if you trap something that no normal person traps, I don't care what your intent is. You want to collect 100 mosquitoes because you want to save mosquitoes, it doesn't matter. That trapping items that are aiming on its own is not chayav. Finish. Nothing to do with your intent. Not mitadha, to put it in the brisket terminology. Yapotha, not mitama gavra. Yapotha mitama cheftza. That the cheftza of a fly, the cheftza of a mosquito, is not subject to the loch of tzeta. Totally irrelevant to what your particular kavana is. So comes, tells and continues. So v'ein onira da haman da pata im bin onita pata filu l'tzorech eliyesh da farish the afilu b'min onitza pata b'shem da malach she'etzrich l'gufa. Says Tosfos, Rashi is right, there is a p'tur of malach she'etzrich l'gufa. That p'tur is necessary within something which is normally trapped. So when you want to discuss a mechayev on trapping something, says Tosfos, you have to ask two questions. You have to first ask the question, is this an item that's subject to trapping? Is this a normal thing to be trapped? That's question number one. And question number two is, why are you personally, as a person, why are you as a gavra trapping this item? Are you trapping it because you want it, or are you trapping it because you remove it? If the answer to both of those questions is yes, namely, it is something that normal people trap, and I am doing it for the purpose of using it, then and only then, says Tosfos, will you be chayav skila for trapping on Shabbos. So according to Rashi, there is no independent principle called ein b'mino nitzon. According to Tosfos, there very much is such an independent principle. That's exactly what Rabbi Meir and the Chum are fighting about in the first of the Ma'amar Kavos, and that has absolutely nothing to do with Rabbi Shimon of Lach Shantzich L'Gufa. Tosfos was so convinced that they were right, that Tosfos concludes, Rabbi Natam machakom in a perushim. Rabbi Natam crossed out that interpretation of Rashi, he didn't believe his grandfather said it, almost. He couldn't believe that Rashi would say such a thing. But in our text of Rashi, it exists. Rabbi Natan just didn't succeed in crossing it out in our Gemaras. And there were Rishonim who probably said it also. It probably wasn't only Rashi who said it. So the question becomes, at least according to the Rashi, we're going to give the benefit of the doubt that the Rashi exists, at least according to Rashi, we understand the sugya. There's really one factor in the sugya, Malach Shetzich HaGufa, and we're familiar with it. We know such a machlokes exists. But according to Tosfos, according to Rabbi Natan, that there are two different factors, we don't quite understand what the nature of these factors are. But the fact of Malach Shetzich HaGufa we understand, but the other factor called Ein B'mino Nitzan versus Yesh B'mino Nitzan, where did that come from? What kind of Malach is that? It's some kind of a din d'oraisa that the Chachamim accept as a limitation, and Rabbi Meir denies. What's it based on? What is this all about? So we have to start searching through Chashabas and trying to figure out, where does this halacha come from? What's the nature of this din of an Ein B'mino Nitzan? If it has nothing to do with Malach Shetzich HaGufa, what does it have to do with? So perhaps it has to do with another principle that we've seen permeates many, many areas of Chashabas, called Shalai Kederach. If a person does malacha in an abnormal fashion, we've seen this countless times. The Mishnah speaks about a guy writes with his left hand. The Mishnah speaks about a guy carries something under his hat instead of in his pocket. So constantly the Mishnah says that if you do things, shalai kederech, so that cannot possibly be a malacha d'oraisa. So maybe that's what's driving this sugya of Ein B'mino Nitzan. Maybe Ein B'mino Nitzan is plotter, not because it falls under the category of Malach Shetzich HaGufa, that was Tosfos. But according to Rashi, according to Tosfos, Ein B'mino Nitzan falls under the category of a Malach Shalai Kederach. It's not normal. A normal person doesn't trap a mosquito. A normal person traps a deer. So maybe that's the reason why it's plotter. If that's the case, that the whole tour of Ein B'mino Nitzan is a corollary to the principle of Shalai Kederach, then we have to go back to the first of the Ramah Kamos, and we're in for somewhat of a problem. Because if we go back to the first of the Ramah Kamos, Tad Rabbanan, Hatzad Chagovim Gazim Tzir Yutushim B'Shabbos Chayav, Devi Rabbi Meir, it's only the Chachamim Omrim Koshim B'mino Nitzan Chayav, Shem B'mino Nitzan Potter. It's a Machlekes HaTanoim. So according to Rashi, who says that the issue of the Mishnah is Malach HaShetzich LeGufa, I understand this is Machlekes HaTanoim, we know already this is Machlekes HaTanoim. But according to Rabbi Natan, that the Mishnah and Daf Kofav is not even talking about Malach HaShetzich LeGufa. That doesn't show up till Kuv Zayin. The Mishnah is an independent principle called Ein B'mino Nitzan, and the Gemara never explains what the source for it is. We're guessing that it's probably part of the din of Shalai Kederach. So how come Rabbi Meir doesn't subscribe to it? Everybody agrees there's a din of Shalai Kederach. Nobody in the world says that if I carry something in an abnormal fashion, I'm chayav. Nobody says if I write my left hand, I'm chayav. So how can you make that din of Shalai Kederach, which is true by all of the Shabbos, subject to a machlokes between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim? So that becomes now problem.
Isn't Shalai Kederach though a din on the
gavra? Oh, okay, very excellent. Okay, good. So Lechora, we have to go back now and ask ourselves, did this really qualify Shalai Kederach? Is this really the same? The person who's trapping the mosquito, is that really the same as the person who's carrying with his left with under his hat? Is that the same as the person who's riding with his left hand? Is that identical to the regular rules of Shalai Kederach? Or is there something mechudesh here? There's something questionable, there's something different in this sugya of Shalai Kederach that may make it subject to Machlokes Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim. What exactly is it? What is the nekuda of the difference between this kind of Shalai Kederach and other kinds of Shalai Kederach? So I think you're 100% correct that if you think about Shalai Kederach, so Shalai Kederach usually addresses to the maisa as to how the malacha is being done. So there's a normal ma'isev hotzah, and there's an abnormal ma'isev hotzah. There's a normal action of ksiva, and there's an abnormal action of ksiva. Here, the act of trapping per se is not abnormal. How do you trap something? What's the ma'isev tzedah? So a few different ma'isev tzedah. Either you have a ma'isev tzedah, where you literally put down a trap, the animal gets caught, or the ma'isev tzedah is, you have an animal running around in the room, I close the door, so I enclose an item, that's called the ma'isev tzedah. If you, looking at the malach of tzedah from the ma'isev vantage point here, the person who's trapping the fly, trapping the mosquito, trapping the other items, the bugs, is not doing anything that's all that different than trapping a deer. Now, I am aware of the fact that deer is very big, mosquito is very little, that's true, but in terms of the ma'isev tzedah, It's not all that different. It's not that I'm trapping the deer using my left hand. It's not that I'm trapping the deer standing on my head. I'm trapping the deer by closing the wall around, closing the door around the deer. I'm trapping the fly by encasing the fly in something. Either I'm throwing down a trap and the deer goes right into the trap. I'm putting out the fly paper and the fly goes right into the fly paper. I'm doing the exact same action. It's mamash the same paisa. What's the difference? The difference is the cheftza that I'm choosing to do the action to is not something that's generally, that's normally tzeid is done to. That's a whole different ballgame. It's a whole different application of the principle of Shelo Kederech. Maybe that was what the Chiddush of the Mishnah is, and of the Braise is, and maybe that's exactly where we may in the Chum part ways. Maybe the Chachamim were the ones who are Mechadesh, Kol She'eba Mino Nitzad Potter. If you trap something that's not normal to be trapped, we're going to say a potter. Again, this is Rabbi Natan speaking, not because of Lachshay Tzir HaGuvah. Nothing to do with Lachshay Tzir. I don't care what your intent is. Ain't B'mino Nitzad is potter. So the Gemara never says, B'don Amili. How do we know that? So we're sticking into the Gemara, into Rabbi Natan. It must be that it's part of the general picture of Shabbos of requiring Kederach Malacha. Then we're bothered with the question that we should be guilty of overkill. Once we introduce the fact of Shelo Kederach, why does Rabbi Meir deny it? So the answer is, Rabbi Meir says, I don't deny Shelo Kederach. I deny your application of Shelo Kederach. Shelo Kederach usually addresses the Mais of Malacha. Here Shelo Kederach is addressing the Chavtza that you're doing the Malacha to, not the action itself. So this already opens up our eyes to a general question of Chushabbos. Whenever you're dealing with Shelo Kederach, so are we correct in our assessment or not? Is that really a necessary part of the definition of Shelo Kederach? So according to Rabbi Natan, it's coming out to Machlokes HaTanoim. It's quite possible, according to Rashi, that this does not qualify Shelo Kederach. It's quite possible that's exactly why Rashi stayed away from the sugya Shelo Kederach. The reason why Rashi connected the sugyas and said that Ein B'mino Nitzad is really part of Malach Shehetzif L'Gufa, maybe Rashi was hesitating about this very Nakuda. So this is far from agreed upon that this qualifies as Shelo Kederach. According to Rabbeinu Tam, it's Machlokes HaTanoim. According to Rashi, it may not exist altogether. Do we have any other cases, any other malachas that this reminds us of in terms of this application of Shelo Kederach? So we have to really, really go back a while. But when we spoke earlier in the year last year, we spoke about the malacha of dosh, of threshing. And immediately in the malacha of dosh, we spoke about tzchitas peiros, about squeezing fruit. So if you remember way, way back, we mentioned that the Gemara says there are three different types of squeezing fruits. Sometimes squeezing fruit is an issa d'oraisa, sometimes squeezing fruit is an issa d'rabbanan, and sometimes squeezing fruit is totally mutter. What's the rule? If it's something like zeisim v'anovim, something like olives and grapes, so that's for sure considered to be d'oraisa. That's no question, that's chita d'oraisa. If you have something which are not quite olives and grapes, but they're things that every once in a while people do squeeze, even though not everybody squeezes, but every once in a while people squeeze, that's what's called tusim verimonim, berries and pomegranates. So anything that's within the ballpark on the normal radar screen of squeezing, that's not a deraisa, but at least it's also a derabanan. And then you have something which nobody squeezes. I'm a sugar to no one in a million years, and one crazy guy is going to squeeze this. So that's considered to be mutlagami. That's what's called sharperis. We probably don't even have sharperis, as man as that, because if it can be done, it has been done already. It's already been marketed. So just about all fruit today is probably falls into either the first category or the second category. But in days of Chazal, it's certain fruits that were considered to be so unlikely to squeeze that if you as a mishugan decide to do it, so you're going, not only are you going to be not chaya, but it's going to be mutter. So just to give you an idea as to how these things change over the lemons example, right. The Shulchan Aruch calls the Meshuvah Sarash that to squeeze lemons on Shabbos is mutl chetchila. The rush is why? What Meshuggah? Who's never heard such a thing? Squeeze a crazy person squeezes a lemon. So the Beis Yosef, who only lived a couple hundred years after the rush, the Beis Yosef writes that may have been true in the days of the rush, but things have changed as man as that. And Beis Yosef then goes on to describe in very, very distinct detail the lemonade stands in Egypt. He writes that he lived in Turkey, he says, Shemati b'Mitzrayim in Egypt, everybody knows that they have loads and loads of lemons that are growing, so they squeeze out hundreds of lemons into a big, big barrel, then the Beis Yosef gives the ingredients, he says, and they dilute it with water a little bit, nobody wants to drink such heavy-duty lemon juice, and they put sugar in, And they, he doesn't say they sell for 5 cents outside the street, says they drink this drink of the squeezed out lemon juice together with the water, with the sugar. So says the Beis Yosef, how can you say it's not normal to squeeze lemons anymore? So then the Beis Yosef discusses, so now what's the din? Now if you make lemonade on Shabbos, you chayav put the mutter. So again, so that's a whole discussion of itself. But the Beis Yosef just observed that things have obviously changed. We can go a little bit past the Beis Yosef's times also. I just quoted this Beis Yosef just the other day, because my daughter was decided to make herself a whole thing of lemonade. So she was squeezing the lemons with the water, with the sugar. So I pointed out to Mayach, the oldest son, said, this is Papa Beis Yosef, tell you exactly how to make lemonade. So just in case you think nothing changes in the realm of squeezing, so Rashi writes in Masechta Shabbos, what's an example of something that nobody ever in their right mind, I'm a sugar, would ever squeeze such a thing. So Rashi gives you an example of Sharperos, that Rashi Paskin Mutlach Achim squeeze. Rashi gives you the old French word, Pei Reish Vav Nun Zayin, prunes. So just in case you thought it was normal to squeeze prunes, Rashi is telling you that you're a sugar. So obviously that's changed with a billion-dollar prune juice industry. So whenever we're dealing with the things of Shalai Kederach, things can change. We spoke about this by the solar cooking, where the Gemara says that someone cooks in the sun, so that's mutter. Rashi says it's not normal, so Rashi says it wasn't normal then, but now it is normal. Solar heating is normal today. So again, whenever you're dealing with Shalai Kederach, it's not absolutely written in stone. It's going to change according to the time and place. So that application of certain fruits of mutter to squeeze, because it's not normal, that's very questionable. That's the reason why it's because it's not normal. I'm doing the same action. I squeeze a prune the same way I'll squeeze a grape. I'm exerting the same pressure, using the same machinery. I'm squeezing it in the same way. The maisef schita is the same, but the chefza that I'm doing schita to is a different chefza. So that seems to be important in halacha. That seems to support the idea that when we speak about shalai kederach, it's not just a function of the action mitzad agavra, but it depends on the chefza as well. Unless that's based on something else, that's a different question. Some Rishonim say that the reason why Shaperos is mutter is for a different reason, not because it's shalai kederach. So it's still somewhat of an open question. Where do you draw the line at shalai kederach? But in terms of the melacha of tzeda, so we really have two fundamentally different approaches between Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. What is going on? The ABCs of the tzeda in terms of tzeda of the bugs. So according to Rashi, there's only one question you have to ask yourself. Is it a malacha tzrich l'gufa? Is it malacha tzrich l'gufa? Most Rishonim pasuk like Rabbi Shimon, that's a simple reading of that halacha is, like Rabbi Shimon. So if you do any tzeda which is shalom l'gufa, you're going to be potter. If you do a tzeda which is l'gufa, then you're going to be chayav. I don't really care what you're doing it on, the chefza doesn't interest me. It's just, the only question that's important is what your kavanah is. And according to Rabbi Tam, it's not true. According to Rabbeinu Tam, the Balei Tosfos, there are two different sugyas playing out here. One is a sugya of Malach Shetzich L'Gufa, and in addition, there's a sugya of Shalo Ein Bimino Nitzod, which is most probably part of the regular halachas of Shalo Kederach, albeit a little bit of a mechudish aspect of Shalo Kederach, but it's rooted in the rules of Shalo Kederach that, of course, apply throughout Hilchos Shabbos.
Turning it to the sweet of those, I mean, there's fruits that are mutter. Here it doesn't say it's mutter.
Right. We haven't reached the point where it's mutter. So the truth is that is really, that's really a pro within Shalai Kederach. At what point do we say Shalai Kederach becomes mamish to the point of being mutter? At one point do we say it gets stuck in the middle, comes asim and derabanan? So that's maybe if you remind me tomorrow, maybe we'll pick up on that in a coup. It's an important sugya, not just in terms of this. It's a general Shalai Kederach shayla. And then we'll move on out of the realm of the insects into a little bit higher higher forms of life to try to figure out how Malach HaTzeda is going to play out in other things as well. So let's jump tomorrow.